The Magic of Bliss Masterclass Module 3. There is a beautiful story where Lord Vishnu worships Shiva by offering 100 lotus petals. So as Vishnu offers 99 petals, he realizes he is one short. So the worship ceremony is incomplete without the presence of 100 lotus petals. So unable to complete the worship, Vishnu remembers that his devotees, Vishnu is, the various manifestations of Krishna, Bhagavan, Ram, all are Vishnus. So unable to complete the worship, Vishnu remembers that his devotees worship his own eyes as lotus petals. So he decides to offer his eye as the 100th lotus petal to Shiva. And before he could do so, before he could take out his eye, Shiva appears and rewards Vishnu with the Sudarshan Chakra. So the Sudarshan Chakra is a discus that Krishna often holds in his hand. His ring finger. So it instantly destroys evil people and anything associated with evil. So whenever there is adharma, Krishna releases the discus from his fingers to eliminate the individual, and then the discus returns back to him. Shiva grants Vishnu the boon that Krishna no longer needs to personally come down to earth to destroy evil. You know, the Sudarshan Chakra will be omnipresent and available to all who follow dharma. So it's like a discus, it's like a moving discus. So just visualize a discus which is flying. Someone does something wrong, you just turn out the discus, like the frisbee, but this is like a discus, it actually cuts the head. And available to all, the Sudarshan Chakra will be omnipresent and available to all who follow dharma, protecting them from adharma. So during the famous Mahabharata and Ramayana, the two important epics in India, so it was an 18-day war, and in this war, Krishna imparted the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So when this war, after the war ended, witness of the intense battle, was asked, what did he actually see? And one of them responded, "I saw only one thing. I saw the Sudarshan Chakra flying everywhere. I did not see any human beings or their names and form." That is what Shankaracharya refers to as Tattva Drishti, the vision of absolute truth. So in waking, we are seeing all these forms, people. Actually, there's only that one Sudarshan Chakra, that is one form, which is just going everywhere and protecting dharma from adharma. So the power to see God and talk with Him. So Ramakrishna says there are two types of devotees, jnana and vijnana. So jnana is the one who has 100% certainty in the existence of God, that without any doubt in their mind that God, yes, God exists. Vijnana, on the other hand, is more advanced and closer to God. So while jnana knows that there is fire in the wood, vijnana, he takes the wood, uses it to light the fire and cooks with it. So it's very powerful. Just like, okay, I can use the computer. Make a book, print the book and ship it and all that stuff. So that's the difference between jnana and vijnana. So jnana knows that, yes, God exists, but vijnana takes it out. So vijnana not only realizes the non-dual Brahman, but also sees both God without form and God with form in human beings in the waking state. So it's a very elevated state, and that is what we should attempt for, strive towards. So how can we achieve this? So Ramakrishna says two ways. We must trust God first, trust in God and trust in ourselves. So trust in God with form and trust in God without form, which is in ourselves. So trusting God means knowing that God is always watching over us, not as a non-dual entity, but as a God with form. The Sudarshan Chakra, the discus of God, is constantly protecting us. So whatever you can visualize here, if you have any other form, and available to help us conquer evil and guide us through difficult times. Now, why are we unable to see this? So there's only one reason. It's because we have accepted vikshepa, the superimposition, and rejected avarna. It comes back to that same thing. The real power lies in accepting avarna, the cover, and rejecting vikshepa. So the first step is the power hides the Atman. And second step is the superimposition. So real power lies in accepting avarna. Because of that, we are not able to see the Sudarshan Chakra. That is the real power. So every other power, no matter how grand, how grand it is, lasts only for a limited time and then disappears. So when we wake up, we have the opportunity, we are continuously interacting with the 14 tools and make the vikshepa, the superimposition, real. So the 14 tools make the superimpositions real. The power that allows us to reject the vikshepa, the superimposition, and accept avarna, the cover-up, is what rewards us with tattva jnana, realization of soot. So that is the highest power, the power to reject, to accept avarna and reject vikshepa. It takes great courage to reject the superimposition and accept the cover-up of the Atman. The good news is that we only have to do it for 4 seconds. Now, if you feel we have to do it for the entire day, we become overwhelmed and we will not even begin. That's where everyone begins from. Oh, I want to have the state for throughout. No, you do it for 4 seconds. You accept avarna and reject vikshepa, because there we get the direct, we'll be in deep sleep. So in difficult times, I remind myself that when I enter deep sleep, at the end of the day, all this drama that seems so real disappears. There's no question about that. Now, it may reappear in the morning, but it definitely disappears in deep sleep. That we know for sure. Now, if I take this idea further and assume that the problem remains the same after I wake up, it surely will disappear when I die. No question about that. Because our subtle body memory vanishes upon death. So it's gone. That's why we don't remember our previous lives. At some point, this damn problem, no matter how big and draining, will disappear. There is absolutely no doubt about that. So now here comes the thing, that mind cannot differentiate between a 4-second moment in the next life or this life or previous life. So if I keep 3-4 seconds before you of a previous life, next life and this life, you will not be able to differentiate it. And the proof of that is dream state. You see, we may be experiencing the greatest tragedy in our life, but when we dream, we are all over the place. We just dream anything. It means the mind cannot distinguish between the 1-4-second moment and another. Only the intellect using the brain attempts to construct logic. When we shift to the dream room or deep sleep room, we must realize that we have the power to completely forget the problem as if it never happened. So if I can gather my power by the grace of God and not deceive myself into thinking that this is permanent, which is the key, but rather seeing it as rising and falling every 4 seconds, that's what we have to do. So I know deep within me that I can achieve the impossible, because there is a part of me where there's no memory of my current problem. This we know for sure. That's the deep sleep. It has complete absence of sorrow. We saw that earlier. There's a part in me where there's no memory of my current problem. Now the good news is that 25% of everything sticks to us because of Maya's guna. So in that 25% of personality, which I told you 10 billion times, everything sticks to us. So whatever we do in this 25%, which is in the waking, everything sticks to us because of Maya's guna. So Bhagavan Krishna says, sattva clings to pleasure, rajas to pain, tamas to error. Means because of the sattvic guna of Maya, we cling to pleasure, the good thing. Then because of rajas, we cling to pain. And because of tamas, we cling to error. So there's this clinging, as if something is pushing us and making us stick. It's called sticking. So the sticking is happening only in the 25%. And we are helpless. We can't do it. We have to stick to one of the three. However, in the remaining 75%, nothing sticks to us. That is the thing. Because there's no Maya present in that part of the personality. That is crucial to understand. You see, there is 75% of your personality, no damn thing sticks, neither the good, nor the bad, nor the virtue, nor the wise, nothing. That is non-dual bliss. There's no sticking business there. By shifting the rooms from waking to the dream state to the deep sleep, we are accessing that 75% of our personality. So remind yourself that nothing can stick to you. This is why even your own body disappears. It's merely a sheath. Your body doesn't stick to the non-dual bliss. Only if you have a body will you have a relationship with problems. See, if there's no body, there's no relationship with anything. So in the dream state, we acquire a new dream body and we realize that we are jiva. That's why we can be completely different. So in deep sleep, it goes even better. All the 4 sheets disappear. So I strive to win for 4 seconds. And if I lose and give in, I tell to myself to begin again. You can never truly lose this game. See, Maya can never triumph over Atman. It is due to avidya that we are giving in, making the vikshepa, superimposition, real and become entangled. And all events, people and emotions stick to us in the 25%. So I give myself many chances, and you should too. Now realize that as I'm giving myself chances, I may feel irritated, frustrated, depending on my personality. But I place all my trust in my ability to move to the deep sleep room and dream room at will on command. This is the key. When you shift rooms and return to the waking room, the binding power of the problem disappears. That's the most important thing. You go to the dream room, deep sleep, come back to waking, the binding power of the problem disappears, and you increase your chances of changing your destiny by 75%. It means the sticking reduces by 75%. So you're 75% free. That's why we do all this. Karma is the power to bind us and make us do what it wants. It sticks us. Binding means sticking. Dharma is the only power that can dissolve this binding power by a significant margin of 75% and increase our chances of success. So we may not be able to achieve this in one attempt, maybe not even thousands of attempts, but hey, who cares? The determination to succeed must always be present. You and I have been here for countless lifetimes. We have always lost, and yet foolishly we celebrate millions of victories and material achievements. God gives us unlimited chances. I further tell myself that if I cannot do it now, there's no way I can do it later. With all the pressure, fear and avidya, this is my most brilliant opportunity. When you bring this kind of enthusiasm and desire to succeed, we have more opportunities to receive God's grace. Closeness to God is the key. Always, always use the word of God and visualize His form. These two things, word of God, visualize, whatever word, it could be a simple one word, or it could be a small prayer, or a mantra, or a chapter, whatever. It makes things easier. Most people fail to take advantage of a God with form and the word of God. You should use both, otherwise our failure is inevitable. You see, this knowledge will not work during difficult time without incorporating God with form and the word of God. When we have no problems, we think it works without bringing in God with form and the word of God. And we deceive ourselves, oh, you know, why do I need all this thing? So don't do that. When things are normal, take the opportunity to visualize God with form and word of God. By doing that, you enrich the universal mind. See, always remember, when you're normal, you may not read it like, you know, you may be normal, but someone else may be screaming. And so if you visualize a form of God and a word of God, you will enrich the universal mind and they'll benefit you. And that will come as a credit in your account. And when you need it, you'll get it. It's very simple. You see, now real, and this is a very big deal. You know, at some different module, I'll speak about this in detail. Now realize that this is not detachment. You are not controlling the mind. You are allowing the mind to access the highest power, which is to accept avarana, the cover-up. You know with absolute certainty that the only reason you cannot see God in form is because of avarana, the cover-up. That's the non-dual bliss is covered by Maya's avarana, the first power, the power to cover up. It is fascinating how Maya covers Atman with its power of avarana. The billion-dollar visualization of avarana. So Shankaracharya reveals profound insights on this. Imagine a circular plate on the ground, okay? And there are three color powders in that plate, blue, red, and black. So blue represents sattvic, red represents rajas, and black represents tamas. So three colors in a circular plate kept on the ground. The ground is Brahman, then that plate is the power of Maya, and the colors represent the three ingredients of Maya. Now God perceives all the changes in the universe as sattvic, rajas, and tamas. The three constituents of Maya, also known as guna. Sattvic represents intelligence, rajas signifies motion, and embodies tamas embodies matter. So we go from intelligence, then it moves and becomes matter. See, causal, subtle, gross, as simple as that. So these three forces work together to bring about transformation, both humans and the world. So it makes transformations in our mind, it makes transformations in the world. And the state of equilibrium in this circular plate is bliss. It's called prakriti. So that's the equilibrium state. So prakriti is often mistakenly referred to as nature by those who are... So when we are not conscious of bliss, when we are completely ignorant of bliss, people call, oh, nature, nature, nature. There's nothing like nature. It's called prakriti. The equilibrium state of bliss is called prakriti. So in this visualization, the three colors represents the gunas. These three, sattvic, rajas, and tamas, also called gunas. That's just a technical name. So it represents bliss in the default state. So visualize this. Red is red, blue is blue, black is black. So there is a ground, there's a plate on the ground, and so red is red. Blue is blue, black is black. Means red is in red, blue is in blue, black is in black. It's not mixed. That is the blissful state. All the three are separate. It's not mixed. Then there is a shake-up of the plate and all the colors get mixed. So all the colors are mixed. This is where trouble happens and Maya becomes avidya, you see. We lose power and avidya starts controlling us. So what happens? Intelligence, motion and matter all are mixed. And what happens? Our divine delusion and demonic are intertwined, see. So all our divine, demonic and demonic, they get mixed up and hell breaks loose. Doubt arises because of this mixture covering the Atman, and the drama begins. Just like suppose we have a face of a man and then a body of a donkey and legs of a horse, something like that, you know. That's what happens. So when the three colors are not mixed, it was Maya. Every state has an individual and universal level. In waking, we have an individual existence, and as a sum total of all beings, we are universal. So in deep sleep, at the individual level, these three gunas are mixed, but they are dormant. Dormant means there's no superimposition, so reflected light disappears and we experience the reflection of bliss through the source light. That's what happens at the deep sleep individual level. Or something magical is happening at the universal level. So there is waking individual level, waking universal levels. Dream individual level, dream universal level. Then deep sleep individual level, deep sleep universal level. The individual level of deep sleep, there is no superimposition. Though the three gunas are mixed, but they are dormant. Or something more magical is happening at the universal level of deep sleep. There the three gunas are not even mixed. And that is called Maya. Blue in blue, red in red, black in black. And this is called pure sattvic. They are separate. It's a state of equilibrium and bliss. And so Maya is controlled by Ishvara here. So when the three gunas are not mixed, it is Maya. See, when it is mixed, it is called Avidya. So even when they are mixed at the individual level of deep sleep, they remain dormant in the causal body. See, this is the reason we enter into deep sleep. So in the subtle body, the three gunas are mixed and there's superimposition. That's why there's confusion in the subtle body. In the causal body, we get bliss because even though it's mixed, it is dormant because there's no superimposition. At the universal level, we get the highest power. Now, when you understand all this, you begin to realize that power, P-O-W-E-R, all caps, can be regained by 75% if you accept avarna, the cover-up, and move to the deep sleep room. So sattvic, rajas, and tamas are not fundamentally different from each other. They are not like banana, apple, and orange. The difference lies in the degrees of manifestation, not in kind. That no banana, apple, and orange. They're different. One is a higher manifestation, sattvic, rajas is a lower manifestation, tamas is the lowest. So most people try to change their qualities by controlling the mind and engaging in numerous meditation, spiritual exercises. God does something special that you and I can quickly use to bring about the desired change in our personality or in others through His grace. While most of us are trying to influence a subtle body and gross body using various tools, God silently enters the causal body and purifies the gunas. See, He renders the bad rajas and tamas impotent. So it's like a seed because it's a seed, you can crush it and the potency goes away. So the bad rajas and tamas, he makes it important and he empowers the good rajas and sattvic qualities. And we can also do that, but we have to first enter the causal body. See, in the waking state, we have to move from the waking to deep sleep. That is why we have to reject vikshepa and accept avarna. And when we do that, we can just make it important. The tamas and the bad rajas. So we can visualize all this with the help of Bhagavan. Deep sleep, dream and waking are not three external states. I've told it to you 100 trillion times from the time I've been born. There are three rooms in your mind. So in the waking state, you can enter into the deep sleep room. There are just three rooms. Just like, so you can enter anytime. In the waking, you can enter into deep sleep room. What this means is that when you accept avarna and reject vikshepa, you gain entry to deep sleep room. See, what are we doing here? I'm just brainwashing you into this accept avarna and reject vikshepa. Because it's so close. Otherwise, no matter what we read, this, that, and we are, this is like we have got the best chance. So stay with the brainwashing. Pure sattvic is the power to accept avarna and reject vikshepa. So there's pure sattvic, impure sattvic. These are the only two things used. Pure sattvic means they are not mixed. Like blue isn't blue, red isn't red, black isn't black. So here we get the power back to accept avarna. We just get that power back without doing anything and reject vikshepa. And we need that for sure. Impure sattvic means the three gunas are mixed. Visualize that the color, blue color is by itself. So you see, not mixed with red and black. That is the highest state we can reach. When you reach that state, avidya becomes maya, meaning all power comes back to you. So what is power? P-O-W-E-R. Power, according to spiritual law, has four principles. In fact, there is a few more, but four is fine for us. I will share three of them now and the fourth later. So here's the first one. Power does not have a separate existence apart from the possessor of power because it's inseparable, but it cannot said to be the same, for you always meet it with an obstacle. Now this, if you just know this one law, you know, it would take for most people 100 million lifetimes just to know this one law. But it's a very, you know, if we can know it in a simple way, that if we reject Vikshepa and accept Avarna, we get it. That means power and possessor of power are two separate things. What is possessor of power? The Atman. And what is power? All the various power that we have. Power to say the truth, power to lie, power to hate, power to love, all that stuff. So this power does not have a separate thing. So we don't know power. That's why we are losing power, then we are gaining power. Losing power, gaining power. But what he says is, power does not have a separate example from the possessor of power. That's why in the equilibrium state, both power returns back to the possessor of power. That's why it's non-dual. So second is, power is superior to effects. Effects are all the drama that you see in the waking. You know, love, hate, good, bad, all effect. But power is superior to it. That is why we always are the power. Third is, power does not cause any change in the substratum, even as it makes the one appear as many. That means it causes no change in the Brahman, even in the page. If I take one page and draw 10,000 circles, it makes no change to the page, even though the one page appears as 10,000 circles. See, that is what it is. So no matter what we do, 75% of us is always non-dual. Even the 25% is non-dual, but because there are many circles, it's a little bit confusing. So let's focus on the first spiritual law. Power does not have separate existence apart from the possessor of power because it's inseparable. But it cannot be said to be the same, for you always meet an obstacle. So during deep sleep, two significant occurrences take place. Avidya becomes undifferentiated and unmanifest. Two things are very important to know. Undifferentiated, unmanifested. So this state is called Avarna. So represents the first power of Maya covering up Atman. And the second power is Vikshepa, bringing about superimposition. Now this is absent in the deep sleep. So the first power is present, second power is absent. And we have to, hear this at least between 1,000 to 2,000 times, and it will be a very good thing because we'll save 3-4 decades. So this state provides a valuable opportunity for us. It's comparable to a lion sleeping for 8 hours. If you strike its head, the lion remains asleep. The good news is the lion is not going to get up. That is why this is called Avarna, without Vikshepa. There will be no superimposer. You hit as much as you want, it will not wake up. So the power of Maya is reduced by 75%, and it's our most brilliant opportunity. So visualizing this deep sleep room helps us to accept Avarna and reject Vikshepa. So avidya is undifferentiated and unmanifested. So undifferentiated means, these two words you have to realize. Undifferentiated means the three gunas. So we've got three gunas, sattvic, rajas, tamas. Though they are mixed, they lack the power to experience through different objects. That's what is called undifferentiated. So in deep sleep, differentiation between eyes, nose, body, men, women, sky, cloud, happiness, sorrow, and more is not possible. You cannot differentiate. That power is gone from you. You lost that power. Congratulations. It is like melted butter. When everything becomes undifferentiated. So Shankaracharya says it's like melted butter. So it remains ignorance, but it cannot manifest objects. See, that's why it's closest to Atman. So imagine like mixing all your experiences, good and bad, or your eyes, nose, legs and hands all together. In simple terms, you lose the ability to differentiate between good and bad, right and wrong, virtue and vice. That's great news for us. You lose that memory. This state is known as the bliss sheath. That is why forgetting is very important. You have to forget the good and the bad to get to the bliss. So recall from the previous module that reflected light disappears in deep sleep. So in this undifferentiated state, the reflected light vanishes, source light falls on this sheath. Sheath means cover up, resulting in the reflected bliss. So it's a reflected bliss there. Our goal is to reach this room while awake. We learn all this to strengthen our knowledge of this room. So listen carefully. The more we strengthen this room, the more we strengthen our knowledge, the clearer we can see the things in the room. Like, just like we see things with our physical eyes in the waking state, the way you see it physically, you can see this knowledge clearly in your deep sleep room. And the clearer our vision in this room, the stronger will be a desire to enter into deep sleep room and not waste time in the subtle body and gross body state in the waking room. We become more powerful in this room. So why not spend more time in the deep sleep room? Secondly, in this room, avidya is also unmanifested. So first we saw undifferentiated. This is unmanifested. Unmanifested means it exists in seed form. Now this represents a great opportunity for us to influence our destiny by 75% by God's grace. Now visualize in the waking state, this tiny seed grows bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and eventually becomes a large banyan tree that provides shade for hundreds of people. However, that big tree always existed, the giant tree inside the seed in a small form. Time is what made it grow. So you have the power to reject Viksepa, the superimpotence, and return it to Avarana, the seed form, whenever you want. You can reject the big tree and put it back to the seed. And you got to do it only for 4 seconds. And when you do that, the binding power of the emotions will disappear by 75%. That is what is meant by us going to the deep sleep. You reject all these names and forms in the waking state and you put it back to the seed. If you don't do it now, it happens naturally during deep sleep. So this is not a mere imagination. Deep sleep makes your visualization real. See, we are not foolishly imagining something unreal. That's not what we are spending all this time for. We are combining the highest spiritual law with simple visualization to achieve the greatest results. By doing this, you can avoid major calamities by God's grace. Remember, this knowledge cannot be obtained through meditation, reading books, or watching videos. These teachings are shared in private. It is Shruti, that means one speaks, other listens, and becomes clearer with repeated reading or listening. So don't just read once or listen once. Listen to it slowly, repeatedly, every day. Let it enter into you. Shankaracharya compares the deep sleep room to sugarcane juice and the waking state to raw sugarcane. You see, in India, sugarcane juice is very popular. So chewing sugarcane to extract the juice requires strong teeth. Like if I give you raw sugarcane, and it may also result in tooth breakage. It requires a lot of effort and you may only perhaps get a small amount of juice. On the other hand, if the sugarcane is crushed and served as a juice in a glass, it's easier to drink in one go. This is the power of deep sleep. What 4 decades of meditation cannot achieve, you can attain in 4 seconds. Coming back to the first spiritual law of power. Power does not exist separately from its possessor, as is inseparable. Our it cannot be considered the same as you always encounter an obstacle, says Shankaracharya. The possessor of power is Atman. Got it? Power is Maya and obstacles are Avidya. 3 things. Atman, Brahman, Maya, Avidya. When the obstacle of Avidya disappears, Maya merges into Atman and all power is regained. See? So Avidya gone, Ishwar also goes away. The power merges into the possessor of power, Brahman. It's important to know that we always perceive Maya, the power, through the veil of Avidya. So why we are not understanding Maya? Because we are always seeing power through Avidya. See, we are having a false idea of power. So whenever someone says power, he says, yes, I know power. But what? We don't know anything. We will never know what is power because we are always seeing power from our Avidya. We do not have the power to go to the universal aspirate deep seat directly. But we can visualize that. We should know. We can never ever perceive what is power because it's inseparable from the Brahman. So we are always seeing it falsely through Avidya. We are looking at power through Avidya, similar to an ant looking at an elephant and assuming that because the elephant is big, it possesses more power. You see, we lose power because of the obstacle of Avidya, not because we lack power. Power is inseparable from Atman, so we can never truly lose it. That 75% always have that. We are not going there. We lose it because of Avidya. We want to stick to the 25%. 75% is unstickable. We falsely perceive power. We are sitting in the subtle body, lamenting the loss of power. However, if we take one step into the deep sleep room, our power increases by 75%. And if we take another step into the universal room or deep sleep, boom, we merge with Ishwara. Avidya becomes pure Maya and all power comes into your hand. Says Vivekananda, believe in yourself first. I may be a little bubble and you may be a wave mountain high. But know for sure that both of us have the infinite ocean in the background. See, a bubble. Little bubble and another is a wave mountain high. Mountain high, a big wave. But you see, there's no difference between both have the infinite ocean in the background. So the good news is that we don't need to add power. We only need to remove ignorance. Perception is a false visualization, not an action that requires going to gym and flexing muscles. See? So Vivekananda provides a beautiful example. Imagine you're a farmer and who needs to irrigate a field. So behind you is a vast reservoir, and there are locks in the field preventing water from entering for irrigation. And all you have to do is open the locks and the water will flow automatically. You see, the false idea is that, oh, you know, I have to generate water and bring it to my field. The correct visualization is, I'm going to lift the lock and the water, let the water in. See, the locks represent the 14 tools that cover up avarna and make us accept viksepa, superimposition. So we lose through false visualization and we win through right visualization. What is the obstacle? Also known as avidya. So let's revisit the classic example of a rope mistaken for a snake. Initially, I thought that this was a boring example, the rope snake, you know, I just couldn't get it. However, as I got closer to God, I realized it's the most easiest and most profound example to illustrate the highest Vedanta truth. Imagine you and I are walking in a park during the evening and it's almost dark. There is a rope, but I mistake it for a moving snake and fear arises in me. So three things. Rope, moving snake, fear. I panic and fear being bitten by the snake. I call my friends. They come with 10 sticks and start beating the rope. Will the snake die if my friends beat the rope? Yes or no? No, the snake will not die. Did my fear go away? Yes or no? No, my fear did not go away, as I still believe there is a snake present. You see, we feel that the fear is coming from the snake. This is avidya. There are three things: rope, fear, snake. We feel the fear is coming from the snake. This is avidya. Fear is coming because the rope is hidden. That is the first thing. The power of maya to, you know, avarna, it hides the atman. So fear arises because rope is hidden. Once the rope is hidden, the form of a snake appears in my mind. In my mind, and the fear arises. There is no connection between fear and snake, as neither truly exists, see? But throughout the day, we are creating a false cause and effect relationship and find ourselves in trouble. This is a world of effects. In this example, the rope represents bliss. Some argue, oh, what if the snake was real? That is called karma, like a real snake appearing in front of you. We are discussing what happens before karma. We are addressing the issue of liberation from the cycle of life and death. If you get clear on that, you get to increase your chances of changing your karma by 75%. So let's break this down. There are five elements of truth present: existence, which is Brahman, Sat, power, Maya. Third, unmanifest effect. This is the unmanifest fear is there in the causal body in deep sleep before I was born. Or at the time, you know, which I came with. Fourth is obstacle, the fear that appears in the form of a biting snake in the subtle body the moment I wake up. And the object, which is the manifest fear in the waking state. So five things: existence, power, unmanifest effect, obstacle, object. The first three are hidden. The third can be figured out. The first two, we can't, because they are inseparable. So the rope symbolizes the existence of Atman. Power is Maya. Now let's discuss the fourth spiritual law. Unreality is common to Maya and its effect because both differ from Sat. However, Maya being power is not subject to perception while its effects are, says the great Shankaracharya. Now what that means is that so let's to illustrate this, consider this example of a hidden rope. When the rope is concealed, the power hides Atman and in turn we are deceived. The unmanifest fear already existed in my causal body. This is very important. That was already there in me. And it needed to be brought out in the waking state. You see, the unmanifest fear already exists in my causal body and needed to be brought out in the waking state. So first, Atman must be hidden. As soon as the rope is concealed by the power of Maya, my unmanifest fear in my causal body is projected or superimposed on the rope. See? Take your time to realize this. Because we have existence, power, unmanifest fear. So the unmanifest fear in me has to come out. And so it is now projected as a viksepa. So step one is Atman is hidden. We don't see that. So power gets hidden. Step two is the unmanifest fear in me is projected or superimposed on the rope, which is again the Atman in this example in the rope. And next, a form of biting snake now appears in my subtle body. So now we transition from causal body. We went from Atman, then the Atman got hidden by power of avarna. Then the unmanifest fear had to be brought out. So it got projected in the subtle body. So we go from causal body to subtle body. a form of a biting snake appears in my subtle body. See? And then consequently, the fear becomes manifest and I experience fear in my gross body. And I perceive it as coming from the snake because the gross body and subtle body interact with each other. However, fear does not originate from the snake. It was always present in me in an unmanifest form in deep sleep. Fear arises because the bliss has been hidden. That's the key. That's why all this I'm telling you is to come back to the same thing, that we have to accept avarna, reject vikshepa, accept avarna, reject vikshepa, accept avarna, reject vikshepa. Shankaracharya says the unmanifest fear and the manifest fear cancel out when the karma is over and power returns back to Atman. There's no difference between existence and power. It's inseparable rather. That is why when you enter the realm of deep sleep, fear disappears. Not because the snake vanishes, but because the reflected light fades away, causing fear to become unmanifest. See, the manifest fear becomes unmanifest. That's our first job. The snake form disappears as soon as it becomes unmanifest. See? So upon returning to the waking state, fear may still linger as an emotion. However, the binding power of fear is reduced by 75% because we now realize that fear does not come from a person, event, or object. By realizing this, you regain power and can make the right decisions. Power refers to something that cannot be lost. So what are powers? We have the power to feel fear, power to hate, power to love, power to feel sad, power to feel happy, power to work, power to be lazy, power to seek God, power to reject vikshepa, the superimposition, power to accept avarna. That is the first power that is granted to us. And you have to choose the power, otherwise power will choose you. Choose the first power, the power to accept avarna, and you'll have made the highest choice. Remember, everything is knowledge and visualization. Therefore, refrain from asking how things work. The how has to be destroyed, as it is a grave sin. If at all, there is a word called sin. Read and listen again. And as you do, false ideas in your antakarna, the innermost organ of the mind, will disappear. And you'll gain the power to accept avarna and reject vikshepa. Listening is the key. Both reading and hearing are forms of listening. Listening means tuning to the voice of God, tuning to the voice of bliss, because God speaks through the voice of bliss. The voice without form is the voice of bliss. It doesn't matter whether you read a PDF or listen to audio file, as long as your intention is to listen to the voice of God, you are on the right path. In our next class, we'll delve even deeper into these beautiful ideas. Thank you and God bless.